What is going on, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 288, and our podcast, as always, is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Looks like I think we both may have gotten haircuts just recently. I just got mine tonight on the way home from work. How about you?
I really can't tell so much.
Yeah, it's dark.
You can tell mine because I just like put some stuff in it real quick.
Other than that, no, I'm great. I'm great. Had a crazy busy weekend with some stuff around the house, but
nice. Yeah,
it's all good.
I turned the lights off in my room. So mm-hmm. I told Ryan before we started that I look like a pro gamer. And I have this light right here that's on, but it may turn off because I just got it out of a drawer. And it's sitting on top of my monitor, so it also might fall.
Yeah, it might fall. It might run out of batteries. Who knows?
I have no clue. But I do think it looks. I do think there's a little redness on my face, but I just think that's just because of the red that I have back there in the RGB. I don't know. Could it be? Could not.
I don't know.
But this is a podcast. Hope everybody is in here. We already have some people in the chat. We have Nelson Lopez in the chat. If you are here in the live stream, definitely go ahead and say hi. And if you want to follow along, as always, we do have our full show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. And there's a lot of stuff this week. We got a lot going on. Some pretty awesome products that I was able to take a look at, as well as a lot of news, a lot of upcoming products, a lot of leaks. So we'll definitely get into all of that. And we're going to start with another graphics card. So last week, we took a look at a crazy 3090. This week, it's a little more tame, but it's still a really awesome card. We took a look at a Radeon RX 6600 XT from ASRock. It is their Phantom Gaming D8GOC. I hate that these names are so long. But this is basically their highest and or their flagship 6600 XT. Now, if you're not familiar with the 6600 XT, it came out not that long ago. And basically what it is, it's AMD's 1080p card. It's made for 1080p gaming. It's made for 1080p gaming over 60 FPS. That's basically what it is. And I think ASRock has done a really good job on this card. For two reasons. One, it's their highest overclocked 6600 XT, and it's going to be one of the highest overclocked ones you're going to find out there. Even if you compare it to like Asus MSI Gigabyte, it's one of the highest overclocked ones out there, which is really good. So in real world performance, it's going to be like 1 to 3 FPS difference, maybe a little bit more than that, but it's not going to be like a massive difference. But if you're getting that with the card, you might as well get the highest overclock you can get. Secondly, they have this 3-fan cooling system, which does a really good job, and it's actually very quiet as well, which I'll show you. But taking a look at the card, it's like, I would say it's your normal size graphics card. Not
crazy, size for crazy. Current cards. I'm still not past the size of these current, like this gen and last gen cards, right? Like they just have grown in size.
Yeah, I would say it's normal.
But it's not massive.
The length is 305 millimeters.
Okay.
So again, not all that long. You know, it's just like Phantom Gaming. If you're not familiar with ASRock's Phantom Gaming line, it's black and red. So you have kind of mostly black with some red accents. That center fan will light up with RGB lighting, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But you have the 3-fan cooling solution with a pretty decently thick heatsink, not crazy thick. This card is slightly over 2 slots, so technically is more or less 2-slot card. And it's, if you look at the heat sinks, they're actually connected with heat pipes. You have heat pipes in there as well. And it's going to do a great job at cooling. And it does have a full cover metal backplate, which you don't typically see in this level of card, which is nice to see. So it is metal, and it's full cover. And you also really don't see triple fan cooling solutions. And if we look at the card from the side here, you can see the PCB is only, I mean, it's like 3/4
2/3 of the way.
Yeah. So it's, you know, The extra is for cooling, which I think is, I would rather have a card that's more cool over a shorter card in most instances, unless I'm doing it like a small form factor build where I, you know, I would rather have a longer card that offers better cooling. So you have that. The only weird thing about that is that it puts the 8-pin power connection basically towards the center of the card, which is a little weird. And we talked about that with NVIDIA's reference cards, that that placement of the power connection is just odd. It's just weird. You'd like it towards the end for better cable management, in my opinion.
I do like that back plate has the cutouts at the back, right where the PC board doesn't go all the way through, allow that rear fan or that last right fan to pass that hot air through the card, and it's not just hitting against that back plate. You know,
yeah,
I think that'll help out quite a bit in cooling.
You don't see that as much. We did see it in NVIDIA's new cards. That's why they had that weird PCB design. Mm-hmm. But on a lot of cards, you don't see it because the PCB is the entire length. But if you have a shorter PCB and you still want to have good cooling, it's a great way to do it. And it's good to see that they actually realized that. And put the extra, you know, extra cutouts there so the air can pass through. So overall design, pretty normal card. You have your standard 3 DisplayPort, 1 HDMI in the back. You do have a little Phantom Gaming logo here, which will light up with RGB lighting. I'll go ahead and show you guys that. So that lights up. And then you have your center fan that lights up with RGB lighting. That's what it's kind of going to look like in your system. Like I said, it's for 6600 XT, it's very, very good. The overall design and the RGB lighting. RGB lighting is controlled with ASRock Polychrome Sync. If you have an ASRock motherboard, you're familiar with the software, very easy to use. And as far as performance goes, I think it does everything that it's supposed to do, right? It's It does 1080p in our testing, well over 60 FPS in all titles, closer actually even to 100 FPS in a lot of those titles, moving up to 1440p. In most titles with very high settings, you're still going to get over 60 FPS, which is really, really good. And if you're doing esports titles, you can, if you set the right settings, you could theoretically do 144 hertz with this card, but I think you would want to bump up to a 6700 series card just to have a little bit more power behind it. But overall, I think it's a good card for what you're getting. It beats out a 3060 in most cases. The only downside is that this card does have real-time ray tracing, but it takes too much of a hit to make it worth it at 1080p. It's just not really worth it. It kind of reminds me almost of first-gen, NVIDIA first-gen ray tracing. If you guys remember when NVIDIA's first cards, the 20 series with ray tracing, we always said it's too much of a hit to really
make it worth it.
To really want to enable it, unless you're playing on a 2080 Ti was the highest card, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you're playing a 2080 Ti at 1080p and then you turn it on, right? But like, this card is made for 1080p, and at 1080p with the ray tracing, it's really not worth it. But again, you don't have to play with ray tracing. All games aren't, you know, it's not a requirement for pretty much all games these days. I don't think any game is required ray tracing to use specifically. So it has the full suite of everything that you want. I think the next generation of ray tracing from AMD is going to be even better. Just like NVIDIA, it just takes some time for it to get better, sure. I would say. I don't even know if you want to talk about pricing or anything like that.
I think it's worth mentioning, right?
Well, in this market, I would say.
Okay.
So this card basically sits between a 3060 and a 3060 Ti as far as pricing. MSRP of AMD's stock 6600 XT is $379, which I feel is already too expensive for what it is. It just is. This card is $120 over that, which makes it $499, which makes it $500. And again, you're thinking $500, that's like a good deal on a graphics card.
How many can I get?
Yeah, in this market.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, you can't find them. I looked on Amazon. There's not a single RX 6600 XT available from any manufacturer. So it would be a great card. I think, it, especially if you're an AMD fan and like you're gaming at 1080p, this is an excellent card. But even at $379 for the AMD reference card, it's too expensive. Do you remember when like this level of card was $199? It was always $199.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And then with NVIDIA's 2000 series, we went up in price, but then we went back down in price to, I think, a more, for what you were getting, the 30 series at its MSRP, I think, is good pricing.
I feel like it's an improvement. I don't think it's probably as good as it, as we deserve, right? Maybe. But yeah, it's definitely better than what it had been. But yeah, this card at their price, the, you know, MSRP of $499 is just too much, in my opinion, as well.
Yeah, so I gave the card a 9 out of 10. Check out the review, guys. The reason I gave it a 9 out of 10, because I do think it's one of the best 6600 XTs out there. You can't blame ASRock for the price as much, just because the AMD sets the MSRP, and then it goes up from there. And the only other thing I really didn't like about it is that power connection in the center of the card. So, yeah. That's kind of what I thought about it. So go ahead and check that review out. We have some more people in the chat. We have Kosher Check in the chat. What's going on, Kosher? Yeah, he sees the case that I'm about to talk about in the background. I believe he also reviewed that case. So we'll just jump right into that. So my other review this week was a case from Montec. It's their X3 Mesh. And I had never heard of Montec before this. Have you heard of
that? It doesn't sound familiar. No, at first I thought it was the brand that Fantex has kind of as their side brand, but it's not. But I hadn't heard of it. It looks like a lot of cases I've seen before, though. It just has some of those similar designs with the front panel, and I mean, there's so many cases that look similar to this right now anyhow, but hadn't heard of them prior to this.
So a lot of times I don't take reviews from companies that I don't know. A lot of times it's because I know that it's the product might not do well as far as traffic. And like, obviously that's how we make our money. And you know, it's an unknown brand. And then I was like looking at it, I was like, okay, six fans they look like, you know, they're RGB fans, tempered glass side panel. And then I looked at the price and it was like $70. And I was like, okay, let me check out this case and see if it's one of those things where it's like, wow, this is actually a good deal for $70, or this is the crap that I thought it would be. Because a lot of people do that. They don't see Fractal or Corsair or who's another good or like a Thermaltake, you know what I mean? They don't see that name brand, so they automatically think something's just not good. So I was like, let this be the test for me to see if it's good. So this case, as I said, you get six included fans. They do have lights in them. They're not technically RGB, which we'll get into in a second. Tempered glass side panel, support up to ATX motherboards, support for up to four hard drives for $70. That seemed like a good price, you would say?
Yeah.
I think it's a good price because finding a case...
I mean, six fans alone, like you'll pay them more than that for six fans.
Yeah.
For good, nice fans.
Yeah, so... most of the time, if you're looking sub $100 when it comes to cases, they don't have tempered glass side panels, or they come with like one fan or maybe two. You're no way you're getting more than two or three at that price point. And they're going to be normal fans. They're not going to be fans that have lights in them for the most part. So I was intrigued. So looking at the case overall, we got the white one. So there's a white one and a black one. I prefer the white. And it has a very interesting design on the front, much like the Meshify series from Fractal Design. I think a couple companies have, I guess, not ripped off, but it's similar. They're just making the front mesh look a little bit more attractive than
just a flat panel with some holes. Yeah, I agree.
Just a flat panel. So you have that, you pull it off, you have your three fans. What's interesting about the fan placement, which is that they're actually installed on the outside of the frame, Which is odd, because if you look at the case from the side, I have a side picture. If you look at the case from the side, it has these vents in the side, but those vents are basically useless if you have the fans mounted on the outside of the case rather than the inside of the case. So
yeah, keep that in mind. Yeah, is there room for them behind, like on the other side of the front panel, though? Like, could you move them?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't remember. I believe you can. Let me go to the inside picture. So I'm pretty sure there is room.
Yeah, it looks like there's space there where you could.
I don't have a picture of like the
swap them around. That'd at least help you take advantage of those side intakes a little better.
I guess. Right? I guess you could technically maybe have room. I don't. You know.
Oh, that's. I see that bracket right there at the bottom, Mike.
Yeah, but you would need to install them. I guess you could install them from the front. Yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. The thing through. So I guess you could, but that's again a lot of extra work that you don't want to do. You have two fans up top. So the three in the front are 140s. There's two in the top, which are 120s, and there's one in the rear, which you can see right here, which is also a 120. And again, you have the tempered glass side panel, which actually is quite nice. And it opens, it has this like little piece of fabric right here, and it just opens up. It's held into place with a magnet, which you can kind of see right here. Very easy to open, easy to access. You don't have any of those bolts on the outside of the panel. And what's really great about this panel is that it's fully removable. So you can fully, it has a hinge design, so you can fully take it out, which is great for when you're doing your installation. Again, you don't expect that stuff on a $70 case. Yep. So you have that. The opposite side panel is just a normal steel panel. And I do have to say, as Kosher says it in the chat, Chinese steel, this steel on the side panel and the motherboard tray is thin, and you can like flex it a lot. So you have to keep that in
mind. Those motherboard trays on cheap cases, man, you can tell that like that little difference in that thickness of the steel really makes a difference when you're doing a build in there. It makes it the difference as far as the flimsiness or the sturdiness of the case goes.
Yeah, so you have that. What else was I going to talk about? Oh, so you have these. So this is interesting too, which I think, again, I think this is just like a basic design. You know what I mean? So you have these two fan mounts right here. This one, I guess, would sit on top of your power supply. And, you know, and there is like an intake for your power supply, but again, your power supply is covering it. This, there's no intake below this. So this fan right here is basically pointless. This fan placement here is basically pointless. Just something to that, you know. And again, we have seen this on, I haven't seen this on cases in a while, but a lot of less expensive cases. These are the IO covers that once you remove them from, you know, you bend them off. Once you remove them from the case, you can't use them again.
Oh, yeah. So, not a fan of that.
Yeah. So if you're doing a build in this, make sure you line up your graphics card first before you take these off, because you won't be able to put them back on, and you will have a hole in the back of your system. Another really interesting thing about this case is when I opened the back up, I saw this. So the fans on this case, all of the fans, they're all Molex only. If you're new to computers, or you, it's not often you see Molex connections anymore. They're these big hunky connections that you see right here. They're a pain to put together as well as a pain to take apart. Once we move to 3-pin for fans, or even once we move to SATA power connections for a lot of stuff, a lot of people were happy because I've broken so many of these, taking them apart or
putting them together, and the pins like come out of the body, and then you got to try and get them back in, and then they never want to fit correctly. Yeah, Molex connectors like just need to finally go away, and I'm surprised to see a case in 2021 that powers their fans with that.
Yeah, so they're all Molex, and they're all connected together like that in daisy chain, and that's interesting to see. So basically what that means is that the fans are going to run at the same speed all of the time. You have no adjustment. You have no 3-pin connection that you can connect to your motherboard or a fan controller that will allow you to control the fans. But they have done something really interesting. So what they've done is they've actually added 3 more Molex connections at the end. And these are for powering the LEDs that are in all of the fans. And the way that they're able to do that basically is this is a circuit, and then there's a power, there's a small button on the top of the case that closes or opens that circuit, which is actually pretty interesting way to do the lights, which we'll talk about. But it is, again, like I had to go in my, find my power supply box that my power supply came with and find, because it's, because I don't use Molex anymore. Like I had to go find a Molex,
the modular cable. Yeah.
Yeah. So I could use that. But you do have two, removable, hard drive mounts. These are for 2.5 inch hard drives. They are metal. But the thumb screws are like very cheap plastic around the actual thumb part. Like they're not normal, all metal thumb screws. And then you have a cage at the bottom that will support two drives, one in the cage and one above it. So four hard drives, like I said, power supply, you can fit, you're not going to fit the longest power supply in here, but which is nice is that you can fully remove this cage if you needed a longer power supply to fit in here. So overall, not horrible. Installation was very easy, very straightforward. Even this being a small case, which I didn't even talk about, the actual, I guess you would call it length of the case is, let me find, like it's very, very short. It's one of the shortest cases that I've ever reviewed, which is fine because I think a lot of times if you're doing a simple build, you don't need all that space. If you're not adding, again, here, you're not adding water cooling. You're not, you don't need all the space. It's very, very short. But even though it was so short, you know, doing my installation, normal ATX motherboard, I still have a decent amount of room in there. You know what I mean? And I was able to get my motherboard in no problem.
I like the room above the motherboard as well, right? Because a lot of times you're trying to get that CPU power connection in there and you're bumping up against the top of the case or the fans, right? It looks like there's plenty of room to get that connected and route all your fan cables and everything. I appreciate that. And gives you enough room to put in like an all-in-one or an AIO cooler with the radiator at the top. Yeah, I like that.
There's two issues that I had with installation as far as just like one, when I got the case, not all of the standoffs were installed. There was like four installed or five installed for like a micro or a mini ITX system. They do include all the standoffs that you need, but they don't include the little standoff tool, that makes it easy to install standoffs. So like, I just think like for first time builders, it's going to be annoying to put those in, especially if you don't have the tool. I have the tool because I review cases. But if you don't have that tool, you have to use like pliers to really get the standoff in there correctly. And once you get everything in, there's no cable ties included with this either. So like all these cables together, that's like how the case shipped. You can see like my other cable over here just kind of dangles because I have no cable ties that are included with the case. And again, I could use my own, but I didn't want to, just to show you, you know, look, I mean, because there are, there's all these tie down points that are on the case.
Usually you get like five or six zip ties or something, right? In the little accessories bag. That stinks.
Yeah. So no cable ties, which again, most people might have some, or you have some Velcro straps. Would actually, Velcro straps would go in between. There's ones that are covered over here, but they would go in nicely and it would be great. But none of that. So, but overall, like if you look at the build when it's completely done and lit up, and it is, if you guys can see, I mean, it's behind me. You can see how lit up it is. I mean, it looks very nice right there. But like, it looks great. It's a simple build. Our build came out nice and clean. No issues, really. I know you don't like the little cutout there on the power supply, and neither do I. But overall, it's going to look like a nice system. There's the front with the fans, and it's going to look really good. Talking about the fans, I want to talk about the lighting. So this looks like, what does this look like? This looks like a rainbow wave RGB, right?
Yeah, like a pastel. Yep.
Yeah, but it's not. What it is each fan, it's going to be hard to see. It was hard to take pictures of it to actually, but each fan has red, green, and blue LEDs in them. That's it. And those fans and those LEDs are either on or off, and they don't do any circular mode, nothing. They're actually LEDs. They're not RGB LEDs. So again, you have a red, a green, and a blue, and they're on all of the time. So it gives you that look of like an RGB kind of wave thing, but it's not technically RGB, which I get is fine because I think the case, I mean, if I can.
It looks great, right?
I mean,
it looks good.
Yeah. It looks like you have a case with RGB. And again, to get into that price bracket of sub $100, I mean, $70 for that, I'm fine with that. I'm completely okay with that. They don't like say it's like strictly RGB. They call it, I forget what they call it, but they call it something, you know, that, you know, and there's no effects. It's not like Corsair fans that have all the effects or any of that. You can't change the colors. You can't turn one of the LEDs off. They're either on or off. And again, I'm okay with it. And I think this is just the biggest thing I took out of this is that this is going to be a case that somebody builds and they're not going to change anything. Because if you're changing anything, if you're adding more fans or doing something else, it defeats the purpose of this case, which is to be cheap, right? For somebody who does a build like I did, which is incredibly simple, right? Shorter graphics card, little air cooler. Yep. I have all my fans, good to go, right? I think for $70, I think it's good for $70. I was honestly blown away because I was going to rip this thing, like, you know, and yeah. So I think it's good for that price. We have PC Test Bench in the house, who he reviewed this case, I believe, as well. If you want to chime in on this case as well, Damon. But if you guys want to know about another great website, PCTestBench.com, I believe, check them out. They do good stuff over there. And yeah, he just said the door is really nice. We talked about that, how it just kind of just opens up, has the, you know, you can fully take it off the case, which is great as well. So again, $70, like this is like the first time build. I want to, you know, I only have X amount of dollars and I can get the cheapest case possible. That's going to look good. Right. You know what I mean? That's why we have RGBs in our system anyways. It's just to look good.
Just to look good, right? They don't do anything besides that.
And this looks good. Like I said, I mean, it's sitting behind me and, it's looking nice and bright. And, you know, I think it's a good system. You know, good.
Again, I mean, there's only a few things I would, like, adjust on this case. Like, you could probably put this at $10 higher if it had a little better steel quality, right? It sounds like. And then maybe just moving those. And I think an improvement that they could do at the factory is moving those fans inside the case as opposed to outside.
Yeah.
To just help with airflow. But other than that, I think this is like an awesome value, especially if you're that beginner that wants that look, doesn't maybe have the budget to go, you know, with a $100 case and then add on another $60 worth of fans or more, right? Like, depending on what you get. So,
And then I have to like figure out how to wire everything. That's another thing. It's like all the fans are everything's pre-wired. You don't have to mess with fan cables or do any of that. And you and I have both done RGB full systems. Like I've done 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have 11.
Nine RGB fans in my current build. Yeah.
Yeah. So running all those RGB cables and doing all that stuff for a beginner is very daunting. Now, we don't think about it like that, but I know for a beginner, this is like you just install your components, everything's pre-wired, and you're good to go. I really like that about this case. I think this is, again, this is like that beginner case, and it's priced that way too, so I like it. Like Ryan said, better quality steel, especially in that motherboard tray, because the thing that worries me about that is putting in your 24-pin and removing that 24-pin and that like kind of go moving with the case is, I'm not a fan of that. But like I said, check it out. The black version is $69.99. The white version is $72.99. These are prices on Amazon. We have links in the review. I'm okay with it. The other thing that might worry some people is, again, those fans are going to run at the same speed all of the time. So when you are gaming or you're doing something that's really taxing, they're not going to ramp up. So that's something to keep in mind. Like, your cooling is not going to be as efficient. Also, when you're doing nothing, those fans are going to be running, and it's not going to be as quiet as a system that maybe does have PWM fans where they really slow down when you're not doing much. So those are the things to keep in mind. But again, I like it for that price. I can't be upset with it. Yeah, so no. Go ahead and check that out. Also, I decided to make some videos this week of some products that we had previously reviewed. I'm not going to, I'll bring them up here real quick, but I'm not going to go into it that much. But I made a video on the 3090. So there's me. That you guys can check that out. The RTX 3090 Amp Extreme Holo from Zotac. First graphics card review video that I've done in a while. So go ahead and check that one out. And then I also did one on the Fractal Design Torrent, which is probably the best airflow case. It's going to be the best airflow case of the year, I would say, so far. So yeah. Both of those are there. Go ahead and check them out. And if you're not subscribed to our YouTube page, you really should. I was like looking at stats the other day, just going through stuff. Mm-hmm. And 80% of the people that watch our videos aren't subscribed. So if you're listening,
oh man,
go ahead and subscribe. You'll maybe you have to hit the notification bell too.
Are you remembering to tell them to smash that like button and subscribe all that?
You gotta subscribe. Yeah,
you gotta subscribe and all that.
If yeah, it definitely helps out if you do subscribe, and you'll hopefully would, because I don't know how YouTube does it. People say that you have to hit the bell thing. I don't know. But if you do subscribe, it definitely helps out. So definitely go ahead and do that so you can be notified of our latest videos. And that brings us Case Mod Friday. And we have another small form factor build, which I really like. This one is from AK Tech and Mods. It's called Bluebird or BB. And I guess you can kind of see why it's called that. Just
yeah.
Very small form factor system inside the, what case is this? The Cooler Master Box NR200P, which is actually a very popular case. Lots of water cooling going on. Love the colors. What do you
think? I like that anodized blue color that they've got on the radiator and a lot of the hardware there, like on the fans and the pump housing there. No, I think this is sweet. It looks so tight and compact that like
that's putting the this scary together, part. I think
would be like a little tough. But I mean, they're pretty basic bins, right? You've got two 90 degree bins in there. Everything else is done with fittings. Not to say that that's like easy or anything. You still have to plan it out, and they've done a good job here to make sure everything's straight and everything. The colors work out awesome.
Yeah.
No, it's very cool.
The thing is, not
much space between that GPU block and the fans, which it looks like they've actually gone with like some, I don't think those are 10 millimeter thick fans, but they're definitely not the standard 25 millimeter fans on the bottom.
Yeah, those
they're a thinner, lower profile.
Yeah. The thing that scares me is like if a RAM stick goes out, you got to like take all this apart.
Yeah.
That's the scary thing for me. You know, is you got to take that, you know, just to swap out some memory. But just like I said, I mean, the lines are great. I love the lines. I love the colors. It's
is that a cutout on the front also that shows the liquid behind there?
Here?
Because I couldn't tell if that was a cutout. I don't think it is.
It doesn't look like it is. It just looks like a paint or vinyl or something.
Vinyl.
But overall, like I said, it's just a cool little build. I like it. I love small form factor builds because like that's why I need like a big system so I can like work in it. Like this just like scares me. It gives me like anxiety almost. Cool stuff. You can see this one gives you a better view of how close that graphics card is right there. But
and I'd love to do some of this work, like these custom back plates and all that, but man, I don't have the equipment to do it, the time. So I'm jealous of those folks that have access to those tools and the time and creativity to do some of this stuff.
Yeah, so go ahead and check this out. We do have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds, as I say every week. You can just browse through there. You can browse through there for hours to get some, you know, inspiration and check out what's kind of going on in the case modding scene. But that brings us to news. And I guess this past week was more or less Alder Lake Z690 leak week because Yeah, that's all kind of what it was. First, somebody leaked the chipset diagram, which is kind of interesting to look at. The big thing is PCI Express 5.0. And it's your typical 1x16 lane or 2x8, which is what we typically see. Yep. But it says for graphics and Intel SSD. And I didn't even think about this when I, like, when you see PCI Express 5.0, obviously you think about graphics cards first. But I, when I saw this, I was like, Intel SSD, that means even faster NVMe drives. So that's
right. Gonna be and like pretty... Gen 4 is already fast. Like, let's go Gen 5. Yeah.
So, and the chipset will support both DDR4 and DDR5, which we have a lot to talk about with that as well. Wi-Fi 6E. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty excited about it. Not, you know, not a crazy a lot of new tech coming into this. I guess there is, because I mean, yeah, DDR, sure. DDR5 and PCI Express 5.0 are like pretty very big deals. Yeah. No crazy like new tech. And
support
and
for Damon, 5 gig Ethernet, which is nice.
Yeah. Damon said DMI 4.0 X8 between the chipset and CPU is nice. Yeah. So we're getting some decent upgrades. This is going to be a bigger upgrade, I think, for Intel when it comes to a lot of things. So definitely nice to see that. But yeah, so the whole, all the info on the Z690 chipset, if you want to check that out. Also, which was, this was actually kind of interesting to me, and I've talked about this for years, that I hate
stock cooler,
the Intel stock cooler. We stopped getting them on the higher end chips, but just in general, I always hated the stock cooler. It looks like we might be getting some new stock coolers. This was leaked. This is part, I guess, part of their press deck or some type of deck, that we're getting three new coolers that will ship with 65 watt parts. So the high end parts that we always talk about that we review, they're not going to come with coolers, but all the 65 watt parts, basically the locked chips, all of those will ship with stock coolers. And it looks like we're getting different looking stock coolers.
I was to say they look different, but they look the same at the same time.
Yeah, they look very much the same. The interesting thing, again, this one on the end, well, let me talk about them first. So there's an RH1, an RM1, and an RS1. H1 is for the higher end. M1, I guess it would be for mid-range. And RS would be for, what does the S stand for? I don't even know, like slow. You know, but that's for more for entry level. And if you're watching this, they're like the same cylindrical type coolers that we've seen from Intel. The lower end one is a little smaller, and as you get up into them, they get a little bit bigger. But the one on the here is interesting. And the picture, on the picture, it says for placement only. But it looks like, at least this render that they have here for placement only, has an LED, maybe RGB LED on there, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen that with some of the AMD coolers.
And I think that's AMD coolers, that's one of the big things that set AMD apart is, one, they had a good cooler, and two, they made it look cool, right? They put lighting on it, which for a lot of people, they want that cool look on their computer, first time build. And if you get it with the processor, it's pretty cool. So that's kind of interesting to see there. Go ahead.
I was going to say that RS1, like if you look at it closely, the lower part looks like almost identical to the stock Intel heat sinks we have now, the silver pieces there that are kind of in between the black fins. It's like they just kind of added on an addition there and changed the mounting mechanism and the fan blades a little bit, which is kind of disappointing. But anyhow,
well, the mounting mechanisms for the two lower end coolers do look the same. They're the push pins, which I hate, which are horrible, which I'm not a fan of. But if we look at the higher end cooler, it looks like it uses some type of screw type locking mechanism that could have a backplate that it connects to, right?
I sure hope so. Or yeah, either a backplate or, you know, some sort of mounting hardware on the top of the motherboard for this to screw into and mount. I think AMD has done it right. you know, with the AM4 mounting. So maybe we'll get some solar.
That's kind of interesting to see, again, for people buying their top-end coolers, all the K models and the KFs, you're not going to see this because those are unlocked. But anything 65 watts will come with one of these new coolers, apparently. So that's kind of cool to see. So we'll keep you updated on that high-end cooler again. It'd be kind of cool to see them kind of compete with AMD in that space a little bit. So we also have price leaks. So I guess these are prices. Again, this is all speculative, and this was pulled off a website called ProVantage. But they have all the chips listed that are coming out. So at the low end, i5-12600K, $288. On the highest end, you have the i9-12900K at just over $600. Seems about right. Any of these prices stick out to you at all?
Pull it up on the screen. But
oh, hey.
I was looking at it in another tab. Do any of the prices stick out to me? I don't know. Not necessarily.
I think we were expected to see a $100 price increase based on how prices are going.
Yeah.
I think
I assume that these price hikes are probably semi-related to the chip shortages and just general tech world and availability in general. So
yeah,
I'm glad that's as high as those price hikes went, if these are accurate.
I would hope so. Yeah, we'll see. But prices are there if you want to check them out. Yeah, I'm not all that, like, I'm not like crazy surprised at the price. It's kind of what we expected. So we have that for Alder Lake. We also have somebody who was benchmarking a i5-12600K, and they were benchmarking an Ada 64 with DDR5. So it's basically DDR5 benchmark. And I know these are really hard to see because the screenshot is so small. But typically with high-end DDR4, as far as the read, the write, and the copy speeds, you get between 50,000 to 60,000 megabytes per second in Ada 64 on my testing. That's with like 3,600 up to 4,000 megahertz. On this, with DDR5, which seems to be running at
4,500. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was the CPU clock.
It's 6,400. Yeah, which is crazy. You're getting, for the read, you're at 90,000. For the write, you're at 88,000. And for copy, you're at 77,000. So a nice bump up in performance for DDR5. So that's kind of exciting to see. I definitely like that. So, I'm excited for DDR5 for sure. Faster speeds. And again, when it first is the entry, it might not be double the speed yet, but as it matures, we're going to see a lot more, which again will be very, very nice. Also, the EEC, which is basically, would you call the EEC like the FCC here? Maybe not.
Quite, because FCC is much more regulatory.
Customs?
Yeah, maybe closer to that. Kind of a combo, I feel. Yeah.
Well, so when you want to sell product in, what countries does this even cover, the EEC?
I don't know.
Whatever countries the EEC covers, in order to import a product, you have to, it has to go through the EEC, and all of the EEC data is public. And this is how we've got information for graphics cards, motherboards, all kinds of stuff, because this stuff is public and there's people that dig in their public website and find these things. So they found this one. This must be Russian because this looks like Russian tech.
There's quite a few countries, Armenia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Russia.
Yeah. So it looks like Asus, is going through the process of importing all of their new Z690 motherboards. And basically, we have a listing of the whole slew of their motherboards. And it's the usual suspects. High-end, You know, have your Maximus, you have your ROG Maximus Z690 Extreme, the Formula, the Hero. You have your ROG Strix, ROG Strix Z690A Gaming, ROG Strix Z690E Gaming, all that kind of stuff. You have your Prime Z690V, and you have a Prime Z690VSI. You also have the new Pro Art board. So there's a Pro Art Z690 Creator 10G. 10G, I assume, means it's have 10 gig Ethernet. You have your H410, H510, but kind of like the usual suspects. And we always say this when like people are like, oh, you know, like you kind of know what the next, like all of these motherboard companies have their lines of motherboards. So when the new ones come out, it's just like adding the chipset. So if it's Z590, it's just gonna be Z690. But
you could probably replace this list next year and just make that 6 or 7 on almost, and you'd probably be right on almost all of them.
But the interesting thing with this one is, so say for like the Prime series, there's a Prime Z690A, and then there's a Prime Z690A D4. And the reason for that is because there's going to be boards that have DDR4, and there's going to be boards that have DDR5. Now, when Skylake launched, which seems like forever ago, when we were transitioning, that's 6th-gen Intel, when we were transitioning from DDR3 to DDR4, at that time, on the high-end chipset, which would have, I don't know what it was at the time, I can't even remember, but it would be like the Z690 chipset or Z5, whatever. The high-end chipset, all the motherboard manufacturers went to DDR4. You could only find DDR3 boards in the newer chipsets and like the H series and like the lower-end chipsets. You could never find in the high-end chipset. Basically, all the motherboard manufacturers are like, people are going to buy DDR4. But DDR5, it seems like on the high-end chipset, you're going to get two boards. One's going to be DDR4, one's going to be DDR5. And I think the reason for that is going to be price and availability. A lot of people are going to want to upgrade. They still have DDR4. They want to use it in their new system. When DDR5 comes out, I assume it's going to be decently expensive. I assume it's going to be harder to get. And I don't think with buying a new board, which again is going to be hard to get and are decently expensive, they don't want to put that burden on the consumer, which is fine with me.
I think this, it makes sense. It's exciting to see these come through the EEC, though. You know, we're just getting closer and closer.
Yeah.
It's a new gear, new motherboards for Bob.
Yeah, I'm excited. I love motherboards. I still have a Z590 here that I'm reviewing, as well as an X570S that I have here as well. I got to get on those. I have so much stuff going on, but yeah. So that's exciting. If you want the whole list, it is on here. You can read them all. There are also Tough Gaming boards on there. Oh, also, I didn't note that the entire Maximus line is DDR5 only. So they're keeping their high end line as high end as it can be. So only DDR5. There's no DDR4 variants of any of the Maximus boards, which I think if you're spending the amount of money that Maximus boards are, you can get some DDR5. So that's exciting to see as well. We'll move on from that to graphics card news with some interesting stuff from NVIDIA. So it looks like we have a graphics card shortage, no doubt. We heard rumors, and we did talk about on the podcast, that NVIDIA was going to reintroduce the 2060, right? Maybe back in December, did we talk about it? Maybe that seems like the time.
I think so.
But it looks like now they're going to reintroduce the 2060 with 12 gigabytes of memory, and it's going to come out in January. I guess it's probably the time they need to make these boards. Or to retrofit the old card with new memory. Makes sense. I don't know. it would be really nice if we get these at an MSRP. Like if NVIDIA is making these specifically, or they're just, it's going to be all AIB, don't know. But if you could go to Best Buy and there's a whole slew of these cards, for a decent price, wouldn't you get it? right?
Sure. If you needed a card, like if you're one of those people that was like trying to build a system and you just need that GPU, like the 2060, I mean, it's still a good card and will run tons of games at 1080 at pretty decent frame rates, right? Like it's not multiple generations old. It's only last gen.
What do you think the price of this card would be? Like say it's NVIDIA, say it's straight from NVIDIA. What do you think the price of the card would be?
I don't know.
$199 would be awesome.
It'd be awesome. I don't think it'll be that. But then you start eating into your other product line in the 30 series. So yeah, I guess. But I mean, I think they could get away with charging more
if they're available. Could. I literally saw when I was doing the review of the 6600 XT, I saw a 1650 on Amazon for like $700.
Oh my gosh.
So, but that's what I mean. Like NVIDIA could put this out and have it available, do it like you said through Best Buy, have it available to buy in store. Well, maybe like a certain amount for online, but do like the one per customer type deal. And then have a lot of stock in stores. You know, it would and be anywhere between 200 and 400. It would do well, I think. Yep. But you can't, again, the 30. Let me look at the price, the launch price of a 3060, because the 3060 launched at. Why can't I find this?
I mean, 3060, right? Like MSRP for a. Sorry. Whoops, where'd it go? That's weird.
Why
can't I show it here?
So the
3060 Ti is 400.
Yeah, so a 30. I'm finding it. Hold on. So a 3060 at launch was 329. So.
Okay.
240, 279?
Yeah, maybe.
$279 for it, I think would be a good price. I'm all for it. I just want it. Like, I hate, like, my, again, one of my buddies was like, I want to build a computer, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's the word, like, you're just not gonna, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting to see. We'll see again if they can make enough and if they price it good, I think it's gonna do really, really well. So, I guess we'll stay tuned for that in January. Also talking about in January, new leaks come out or rumors that NVIDIA will launch a super series of their 30 series in January and then RTX 40 in October. Kind of makes sense. We do have Consumer Electronics Show CES coming up in January. And it's crazy to think that the 30 series launched almost a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, so
I mean, I think the Super Series release for CES definitely makes sense. And then it just feels kind of bad, like knowing the 40 series is just coming up in the fall.
Yeah.
But I mean, just because they announce it and like say it's going to be available, are you going to be able to get it?
Yeah, that's
who knows what it'll be like in a year from now.
Yeah. So the Super Series is basically a refresh. You basically get faster speeds. Sometimes it's a decent, it's never worth upgrading if you're on the same series. Mm-hmm. But if you're on a 20 series, like you have a 2070 super, right? That's what you had got. So it's like whatever upgrade cycle you're on, it's a nice little upgrade. And then in October we will see the 40 series, but again, that's just all speculative. Again, this super series is also nothing official from NVIDIA, but it's kind of expected. I mean, that kind of is the smart time to at least announce it. So we'll see how that goes as well. Also really interesting. I love these things because, again, I love mysterious hardware, a hardware that like hardly anybody can get. So when the 3080 Ti came out or was being developed, it was supposed to have 20 gigabytes of VRAM, but then they crap that. And how much did they put on it? 12? I forget. Yeah, 12.
Yeah.
So they put 12 on it. Well, a lot of those cards with the, and that was like the last minute they decided, oh, that's going to run too much into our 3090. It's like, it's too close. So they bumped it down to 12. But a lot of these cards were already made. Like they were already made with 20 gigabytes do some with of VRAM. And it looks like a YouTuber out of Russia got his hands on one, a gigabyte one, and he was running it through tests, and he was able to he basically see how good it was at mining Ethereum, and yeah, it does it so well. It's 63% increase at mining Ethereum. Wow. Over the low hash rate 3080 Ti 12 gigabyte.
So okay, that makes sense over the low the LHR version.
Yeah. But it's just like so cool to see like this like mysterious hardware just like pop up, like, you know, what happened to these cards? How did this guy person?
Yeah, you think that they'd be like stuck off in a lab somewhere like at NVIDIA, yeah. Or they're just like, all right, we're not going to make that SKU. You need to destroy these cards type of thing, right?
Yeah.
Or just, you know, disable the extra memory that's on them and sell them as a standard card.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. If you want to see the video, we have it linked here in the article. Also talking about games and or gamers and graphics cards, we've been seeing, we saw a couple weeks ago or maybe a month ago about somebody who got a graphics card where all of the thermal adhesive still had the stickers on it, and now gamers are seeing that the actual thermal, well, the thermal pads aren't put on correctly. This picture, you can see that the thermal pad either fell off or something. It wasn't just put, it was put on crappily. So it went over into where the GPU is. And obviously, these thermal pads aren't really made for the temperatures of the actual GPU. And you can see what's happened to it, which is just never good.
Well, that one you can see there is like, the threading also, inside of, yeah, that pad, right?
Yeah.
So no bueno.
That's pretty bad. Also, in this picture, we can see where there's just no thermal pad on the memory, which will cause a lot of issues in-game. You can cause stuttering. You can have a lot of issues. And people are seeing these, and this is an Asus card, this one. It's just like, I don't know if just like getting back to work after everything, the cards just aren't like the workers. I mean, this, if you go on, there's like a Reddit thread with this, and like a lot of people are complaining about these issues.
Well, and even there, they didn't even circle a spot, but on the right side of that heat sink, should there be a thermal pad along that far edge as well, to made up with some of that power?
I don't know. But the biggest problem with this is like card availability, right? So say this person didn't notice this, and it just, I mean, you could easily break the card with, you know, with it overheating. Then getting a replacement, how long is that RMA going to take? 6 months?
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean, that's the more upsetting thing about this than anything.
I mean, I know we had some issues, like, what was it, EVGA had some pretty major issues with some of their recent cards. I didn't kind of follow up on what those turnaround times were, but hopefully, yeah, folks like that can get them swapped out pretty quick.
Yeah. So but moving on to gaming, we do have Far Cry 6 coming out, and AMD, this is an AMD game. If you, most Far Cry games are AMD kind of sponsored games. They put out a video showing off the different features. The biggest thing about this is they showed off FSR, or Fidelity FX Super Resolution. Basically, it's AMD's version of DLSS, which basically renders the game at a lower frame rate and then upsamples it. It does a pretty good job. It basically boosts the performance by 44% when using it, which is really cool. We've seen these technologies, whether it's DLSS or FSR, get increasingly better. It's also really good when the company, like AMD, works with a developer to make these technologies really good. They have the video. If you're interested in Far Cry 6, this shows some different stuff in Far Cry 6 as well. So you can go ahead and check that video out there. Cool stuff there. Also, this is really interesting. So GeForce Now, it's NVIDIA's online streaming subscription service. So you pay to basically stream games to your computer or any device, really. So if you have a crap computer, but you like to play games, you can sign up for GeForce Now. And basically, all of the computing for the game is done in the cloud. And there's been a leak showing some stuff in GeForce Now. And the leak shows some PlayStation exclusive games that could possibly come into PC. And these are like not little titles.
Yeah, just some big names.
God of War could be coming to PC, as well as Gran Turismo 7 could be coming to PC. Also, Super Mario Brothers could possibly be coming to PC. It's unclear with these titles if they're doing emulation, to especially like the Wii titles and things like that. But like, we don't know how they're doing this, but like those, is it being emulated on a PC? Like, we don't know how that's going, but there was a full list of games here, and it does also confirm the GTA 3 remasters. So that's in there. As I said, Gran Turismo 7, God of War, a lot of stuff in there. So a Half-Life 2 remastered is in there. So yeah, we'll see. That's kind of interesting, because again, like God of War and Gran Turismo were like, those were like the PlayStation, like really exclusive games. And they're, if somehow NVIDIA has a deal to get those games on PC, maybe only through GeForce Now, it'd be kind of interesting to see if that happens. So yeah, like I said, that'd be kind of cool to see. Couple more launches and then we'll get out of here. Corsair launched a new super fast. I'm super excited for these. Super fast NVMe SSD.
Yeah, I love the look of this drive.
Yeah, so this is their MP600 Pro XT. It looks like Corsair is going with their Pro XT. Like, it's Pro, it's XT. Like, their naming that I'm not the biggest fan of. But this is their newest M.2 NVMe SSD Gen 4. Speeds 7100 megabytes a second read, 6800 megabytes a second write. Comes with the heatsink on it, which I think looks great. It's black. It has the Corsair logo there. It's going to match a lot of boards, right? Because it's just all black, nothing fancy. Yeah. I like.
Yeah, I saw this and I was like, okay, this might be the drive that gets me to switch over. It's sad that it's like because of aesthetics, but I love the look of this.
Yeah,
I think it'd be even cooler if that little Corsair logo was RGB.
Yeah, that's a very Corsair thing to do too. I'm surprised it doesn't.
I know. You could fit a couple of Capellix RGBs on there.
Oh, yeah, you gotta tell them. Gotta, you know.
Yep. Get right on.
Yeah. Nelson said in the chat, well, first, Damon said, he said, I wish Infamous would come to PC. Yeah, it's interesting because, like I said, the GeForce Now, that's going to be really interesting to see, because if they're doing things like Mario and then like Gran Turismo, like, could they make these deals where it's like GeForce Now only? So it's not technically PC, you have to be in GeForce Now. I think that's kind of what possibly could be happening with those titles, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So. Or like, you know, because they're PlayStation exclusives, maybe like Sony's like trying out the PC thing. Like, if it does good on GeForce Now, then they maybe could do a PC release down, you know, we don't know. And then Nelson said about the M.2 SSD, he says it's a stealth M.2 for you. No one will see you. Yeah, it's a pretty sweet looking drive. One of the better M.2 drives that we've seen for sure. And then talking about good looking, EK announced their new Quantum Vector RTX 3080 and 3090 FE full metal water blocks. And Ryan, you're the water cooling guy. What do you think of these?
They're kind of, I don't know if I'm a fan or not. Right. They're just so like, I don't know, industrial looking.
That's why I kind of like them.
Okay. Yeah. They're all right, but they're not my favorite by any means.
Okay. But yeah, these are newer water blocks from EK. I like the design. Again, not everybody's cup of tea, but I think they're pretty cool. These are available now. $289.99 for the 3080, $349 for the 3090. Pretty interesting stuff. So go ahead and check that out as well. And then Damon said, I hope they sell the metal terminal for people who bought the first round. Yeah, so he's talking about the terminal there on the end, which is built in. So mm-hmm. Most blocks, the terminal isn't built in like that, right? Like as part of
that? What do you mean?
So like, well,
okay, he said, I hope they sell the metal terminal for people who bought the... Oh, so the first round must have looked a little different or had like maybe acrylic or something. It'd be cool if you could swap that out. Yeah, it's removable. Yeah, those three like Allen screws.
And that'd be cool. talking about, I know Damon does a decent amount of mods. Like you could take this out and kind of customize it as well, right?
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. You can kind of do whatever you want with it or something like that. I don't know. Just thinking. But yeah, cool stuff there as well. And that is the news for the week. Coming up next week, I'll be taking a look at a brand new air cooler. I actually like air coolers quite a lot. I am the air cooler guy. I'll be taking a look at Deepcool's newest one. This is a big boy cooler too. This is their AK620 dual tower, dual fan, really kind of like interesting design, not overly flashy, kind of like all business, as you can see. So handle thermal loads up to 260 watts. So I'll have that for you next week. Also taking a look at a monitor from AOC, their G32GZ2ZE.
Go on.
These monitor names. This is a 32-inch 1080p monitor, but it's 240 hertz.
Cool.
So yeah, so I'll be excited to take a look at that. It means I got to play some games. So I'll be, excited to that. It is curved as well, so yeah, I'm excited to take a look at that and play some, get some whenever I review monitors or any like gaming hardware, I'm always like, yes, I get to play a game, or not gaming hardware, like gaming accessories like mice and keyboards. So I'm like, I have to test it like while gaming, so it just gives me excuse to game. So
yeah, valid excuse there.
Yeah, so excited for that stuff next week. As we come to the end here, we talk about tech. We talk about if we did anything cool this past week. Did you do anything recently?
I don't think so. No, I was busy planning for two kids' birthday parties over the last weekend, and that kind of took up our time, and just been busy with work as well. So
that's nice. Nothing crazy. I'm trying to think. Just working on reviews and stuff, but nothing tech-wise. Mm-hmm. As far as like, and I haven't like really watched any movies lately. Nothing. Just boring life over here. So yeah, guys, we'll go ahead and wrap things up. We will be gaming over on Twitch tonight. Of course, we do that every night. We do the podcast, which typically on Wednesdays. twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Go ahead and go on over there. Ryan will have the stream up here pretty soon. I'm pretty excited to play some Apex. You gonna do good?
Yeah, there's new, I hope you updated because there's new
I have fast internet,
new event. I know. Yeah. Fast internet, slow computer.
Yeah. Well, we'll be over there. So definitely hop on over there. Thanks everybody who came out, who is in the live stream. Of course, everybody that listens later. If you do want to listen later, obviously go ahead and subscribe to the podcast. And as I said earlier, subscribe to the YouTube if you can. It definitely helps out. So we will see everybody. If you're going to watch this game, we'll see you over there. If not, we'll go ahead and we'll see you next week.